All right, what's up, everybody? Welcome to a new episode of Cadillac on Mars. New year, 2023. Probably the earliest and most close that we've recorded in a while. We were going to try to record last week, but then Delvin was sick. He actually was missing in action. We started getting worried. We thought he was like dead in a ditch, maybe getting free shoes from like a homeless person again or something. Also, he's been out here in these Facebook streets trying to get hoes. So thought maybe one of those had turned south. But like I said, he's allegedly sick. He says he's still sick right now. So in out of respect to the show, he said he don't want to come on. I told him stop acting a fool and get on here, but he says no. So we'll see how it goes. But we do got a special guest today. Aside from my homie T, being on here. I forgot to ask Sean, but you know how that goes. He wouldn't come on here anyways. We got the infamous Mike Fowler. What's happening, Mike?
Nothing much. How you doing? I don't know about special, because obviously I've been called out almost every episode
I
to
mean, you
fuck
are
off.
you are a recurring name, and now we got to put a voice to the name. So
I didn't
no.
know. That's cool to know, Chalfie. You're having Cadillac on Mars go for another hiatus.
That
I'm
is
here.
true. For those who don't know, Mike Fowler goes on shows and then shows stop happening after that. So just let everyone know this will be the first and last show of 2023. Delvin's not on here, so he won't know that.
Like last time.
Exactly. No, but yeah, it's been a while since I've actually talked to Mike. I mean, he's been like so busy and fucking no time for anything, and then just being bummed out all the time that I haven't had like a lot of time to be gaming or like kicking it and shit. So what you been up to, Mike? What's new for you? What are your goals for 2023?
Actually, is nothing much besides, I guess, for listeners. I moved back to the town that me and my family originally moved from. Like we went down to Flint area, Davison, from. But then, to be honest, for my family, we got a little kind of more homesick of like the area when we moved down there. It was like, for the Davison area is kind of small in the sense of like, it's very, for the idea of when I think of Flint, I think of like, oh, it's gonna be some city stuff and all that shit. But it felt like Mount Pleasant is more livelier. It doesn't feel like you can go down the main drag and like it has a, what is it, actual lights and fucking street lights going on at Davison. Like it felt like Mayberry. Like after at like 9 o'clock, lights went off. Like only just one gas station's running. I'm like, God dang. And
Did they have like street lights, but that were on like the cord? Like it wasn't actually attached to like a pole.
it was just more like the one store that we went to that's actually in the town of Davison is Meijer. So then, if you want to go to Walmart, you have to either go to, you have to go to either the white one in where's the fucking town is called? Lapeer, or you had a, or we were right next to Burden, but also it was a lot more sketchier Walmart. So like, oh, and it just like we're so used to having it all in one town, and it was it's just more happy to get back. We also get all of our, sounds dumb, but like we have like all of our favorite foods here, like our favorite like Mexican spot. I'm so happy to be back for the Chinese place I've been eating for fucking like 15 years to have it back and all that
So it
fun
really
here.
was like in a big way coming home.
Yes.
But also, I do need some clarification because you called it the white grocery store and then the
And then the
sketchy
other
one.
one, the sketchy one, that's that
Right.
SZA. No, it was because it was literally what I've been noticing. It was like Burton, it was just more sketchy, more even like
Was
just
it
trailer
more
trash, more
ethnic?
compared to Lapeer. Yeah, there's more black people in there compared to Lapeer, but no, it was like a lot more of the trailer, even trailer trash white people, and going over there and like, hey, I'm not the one that orders them, but obviously the Burton one had a lot more flaming hot fucking flavored things than the Lapeer one. Is it? I'm not saying stereotypes are wrong or right,
You're just
but
saying
just
it's an
saying.
observation.
It's an
Somebody had
observation
some
I'm watching.
seasoning and somebody didn't.
Right.
Well, that, you know, that there was a lot more there's a lot more seasoning at in stock at Le Pire,
okay,
compared to the Burton one. There's like I said,
is the seasoning just Lowry?
Their hair products were all behind locked cabinets. Le Pire's wasn't.
Gotcha.
So I'm just saying there's some observations in the area.
Now, is your fiance, is she from the same area too?
From Mount Pleasant, yeah. In the she actually grew up around where we moved down to, but they were more like move hopping around, and obviously she her family's actually part of the tribe of in the Mount Pleasant area. So
oh, that's right. You actually said she was indigenous. I forgot about that.
Yeah. What do you think I am? Just some old fay cracker over here? No,
I'm you were here trying to appropriate indigenous women.
I did.
Man, you're trying to colonize that cooch. Show title.
I John Smith that hoe.
But,
and then, no, and it's more funny because I went back to work at the casino, so it's obviously that's a comfort zone too. So like it's not bad. And also
wait, you ain't FedExing anymore?
No, it was only that one.
Oh, just the seasonal hop?
No, it was like that terminal downstate.
Uh-huh.
So obviously you move, then you can't work at that terminal. But yeah. And then the closest terminal that would be even near me, I'd have to go to Saginaw, which obviously still 45 minutes away, which obviously city folks, you're like, yeah, 45 minutes. That sounds normal. No. I'm like a mile away from the casino and I'm at work. I can, you know, boom. And that's then,
beautiful.
But
are
no,
you back in the, you back in the kitchen?
No, I am actually this time, I was heading that way, but, I went up to like a job fair just to do a quick application stuff, doing through the computer.
Yeah.
And, they had it filled up. And then I'm like, all right, well, I'm here. So I'm a finance cashier. So basically what that is, just the person who, if you, you gamble, so you have like poker, you know, table games, chips, or if you're just one of those people that just don't comprehend that the ATMs also cash out your, the little tickets that come out of the slot machines, you can come up to the main cage or where I'm the one who cashes you out.
Oh, damn.
But yeah, so this one, it's way, pretty chill. I'm also I'm on third shift, so obviously it's not crazy. So I like
what hour is third shift?
For this spot, the earliest shift, which I've been picking up and I like this one, is the 10 at night to 6 in the morning.
Okay.
And I like that because for some reason I've done third shift there before, and between 8 o'clock in the morning, like time stands still. Like you think you're there for another shift. It's so long. And then but no, it's a pretty easy thing. My some of my supervisors remember my face from obviously because I've been there for now. I'm starting my 11th year of being there. But yeah, so some of the supervisors know me. I even was kind of like a draft pick. One of them actually like, no, I'll trade you one. Let me have him. And she also got me a wrestling shirt for Secret Santa, even though I was there only for like a week. Like,
nice.
Okay.
I mean, I think that's good to feel like welcome back instead of just like, fuck this place again, you know?
I will say that's what I was telling people even during some orientation. Like, I had some moments in the kitchen that I had like that the grass is greener moments.
Uh-huh.
And then leaving, doing a couple other things. Of course, the pandemic also does change your attitude too. And then I was like, you know what? It's not that bad. So I'll just come back, kick it. I'm already maxed. I reaped the benefits. I'm maxed out on PTO already because I've been there so long. I start off again where when they do holiday bonuses. So next, I obviously don't get this one, but like next year I get wherever the 11th year one starts.
Yeah.
So like,
so basically you just unpaused.
I unpause, and then they also change it so that I can be a better degenerate because of
a better degenerate.
Yes, because they changed the since COVID, they changed the policy of calling in. Now you can, like, you used to be, you have to call in, and then you get up, use your PTO, to like you, so you can get paid and you get the call and blah blah blah. Now, if you want, you can do no pay. I'm never going to do that since I maxed out. I make enough hours. I can get a fucking day within the paycheck, so I can just call in again. But now you can call in, wait 10 days. If they need somebody, you can pick up a shift, and that occurrence goes away. So you go back to zero. Something like
that. Because they're just that hard up for replacement.
Yes. The pandemic has definitely hurt them, because also like, apparently I heard in the food and beverage area, which this is great for podcasting. Like, yeah. Here's some very niche conversations.
No, wait a minute. There's some inside baseball.
Apparently they had a meeting, because like all the departments did. I didn't get to go to my finance one, but the food and beverage person said somebody was using the new method of like occurrences and call-ins, that they were able to call in 37 times in 1 year, and obviously didn't get fired, just because of obviously how they picked up some shifts. So they might have worked a really hard 2 weeks, maybe only had one day off idea, but then called in like to have 4 day weeks for multiple months, and then didn't do that, you know what I mean? And just take it away. You like, they also had like, if you stay a half an hour after, you take half an occurrence off, bunch of little slimy stuff. I'm like, oh, good to know.
I mean, and it's kind of like that in the educational world, not exactly the same, but it's like, we're throwing people in every direction. Like, my librarian has worked in our kitchen. She will open gates, dismiss kids. There's been a few times this year where I've had to have her like hold a class for a certain amount of time. And it's just like, and sometimes I can pay her, and other times I'm like, listen, here's what we're going to do. I could do like buyback hours or whatever. Yeah. And so if you cover this, then take Wednesday off or something like that, you know? But it's just like, I just need bodies. I just need people to fill a space. So I kind of get it, because it's just like, fuck, man. Like, not having a surplus of people is a real pain in the ass, man. I'm like, this shit is not cool. So I get what you're saying. I got a question
for both of you, because also I know T works at home now. So obviously his is a different way of looking at it too, which I don't know exactly if they're how short staff or how that stuff works for him yet. But my question is, I can understand mine, because mine's the service field. And like, so like, it's kind of become the breaking point. And I understand teachers are also kind of at service with kids.
Yeah.
But like, I still am trying to grasp what was it with the pandemic that like has definitely hit the switch, and really is like, people really are, because like I see TikToks to say like, oh, this is a Gen Z thing, but obviously not, apparently not, because obviously my age people are doing the same thing. They're really like not feeling it, or like trying to work as much. I'm just trying to figure out like, where did everybody, you know, like how do we become like this, like, vacant of bodies?
First, T.
Oh, I honestly just, I feel like it honestly, it's just been people recognizing their value as an employee, and realizing how fuck we've been over by, you know, management this entire time. And so now it's like, okay, well, if there's a way to work this system in our favor, why not? Because it never happens otherwise. So if I don't call off from work, because I work from home, but what am I gonna do? I mean, this is,
right.
I'm go this room right over here and get, just kick it on this TV. But also, here's the thing. People think, oh, you work from home, you must be chilling, playing video games all day. I cannot. I got a job I have to really focus on to do, you know what I'm saying? So it's not like I'm just sitting here like over here on this PlayStation or Xbox or whatever. I'm doing my job and I'm very much focused on it. So I can't call it, man. Plus, I've been in my job for like ever. I just like you said, I'm nearing my max PTO. 5 more years, and then I will hit max. So I'm not quite there yet, but I get 20 vacation days. I get every federal holiday. They raised our sick days this year, so I get way more sick days. Some shit goes sideways, like if my mom died. Nope, I don't wish that upon anybody. But I mean, you know, I get. They recently increased that too. It was because it used to be only 3 days, but they cranked that up. So it's like my job in particular, I'm all right, man. I could, yo, I know, like all people, I could use more pay. I looked at my net pay the other day for the year, and I was like, what? It's no wonder it felt so tight this year, because it simply was, you know what I'm
Yeah.
saying? So, you know, it's the hustle, bro. It's what it is.
Well, I knew your spot was a little different because obviously, without throwing it, blasting it out there. But like, no, I know also, like, I was more curious when you said max out PTO, but also you guys get that weird, like, here's a stack of sick, here's a stack of PTO,
Everything, yeah,
and
these
do
things are
what you gotta
separate.
do.
So yeah, so these are my vacation days. I get X amount of vacation days. And in my case, I get 4 weeks of vacation. I get something like, I don't know what it is. I feel like it's like 16 sick days now. They said that's just something they did this year. That's brand new this year. So I don't know the actual number. Dope about sick days. Sick days are crossover, so I can carry those over with me. I can't carry vacation days over with me. And if I do, because like this year I end up carrying two vacation days over with me, I have to have them taken during the first quarter. And actually, I'm going to take them this week. So I'm getting them knocked out right now.
Well, there you go.
And then I have, bereavement. I have, if I were to have a kid, which never, but if I were to have a kid, I get 17 weeks off for my kid.
17, yeah.
Seventeen. Whoa.
Yeah. Which is just something they recently increased after some behind the scenes stuff. Got somebody was like, hey,
Got to
man.
light.
Don't play. Yeah, I had 12 weeks off when my oldest was born, but I only got 6 when my youngest was born, and that's just because it was a change in management who wouldn't let it, who wouldn't let me get them 12 that second time around. So I did okay. But yeah, it's just I work at a very specific type of gig, and so that's why I'm also, pretty chill with my job.
Yeah, I think to kind of piggyback on T's statements, though, it's similar with us as well. I think it's people going through these last few years, sort of during and post-pandemic, if you could say, it's knowing, respecting their worth and recognizing their worth. And when it's like, okay, the pay is not that great. Like, if you're a teacher, it sucks. Like, it's not good pay. Benefits might be all right, but it's like you get nickel and dime all over the place, and it's to the point where people are just like, this is not worth it. Like, I'm spending all, like, people really think that like being a teacher or being in education really is just chilling. Like, you tell the kids what to do and they do it, and it's
No,
like, no. I mean, a prime example is look at how our elected officials behave, and then imagine those people as parents modeling that behavior. And then now imagine having 30, 35 students in a classroom who have had that parental modeling. It's not easy. So you're trying to work on behaviors, you're trying to teach the kids, you're trying to do your planning, you take shit home to work on, and then you get shit on by like parents 24/7. And then mind you, you only get paid like 9 to 10 months out of the year. Like, that summer vacation is not a paid vacation. Or you have to find some supplemental plan. And sometimes the districts will do it where they will then spread your paychecks over 12 months. But yeah, you don't get like months free. But those are those misconceptions people have. But so with that, people are just like, you know what? Like, I've seen too many people get sick. I've seen too many people die. Fuck it. I'm going to the snow. I'm going to Hawaii. Like, I'm gonna take a 3-day weekend. I have one teacher who, during this season, she goes snowboarding. Like, she takes a lot of 3-day weekends. To the point where I did have to kind of talk to her. I was like, listen, man, like, what's your commitment here? Because I need you here. And when you're not here on Fridays and Mondays, those are the worst fucking days to be gone. Can we work something out where, like, I get it, you have your days, but can you do like a 4-day weekend instead of 2 3-day weekends? Like, that taking a Thursday off is easier, taking a Tuesday off is easier. Like, so can you reallocate those or something? But I will say this, I feel like I have been fortunate at my school, knock on wood, where it's like, because I have those types of conversations with my staff members, And like, there's, and I didn't come down to her like, listen, fucking bitch, you can't be taking days. Like, it's just like, let's talk about this. Let's see what we can work out. My team is there. Like, they show up. I've been fortunate enough to not be, have been hit as hard as other schools where they're just like, oh, I know my teacher's at home today. She just didn't want to come because she knew tomorrow was going to be a rainy day and she didn't want to do rainy days. And it's like, I mean, it's well within her reach to do that. Like, that's not a thing. But at the same time, when you're supposed to be doing it like for a support of the children, then
Right.
that's the other element. So my team, at least they're like, listen, if it's not me, what the fuck are these kids going to be doing? You know? So kind of instilled that. But it really is knowing your worth. Like, I have taken more days off this year and last year than I have in like my whole career because I'm just like, I'm fucking burned out. Like, I'm tired. Or I'm like, you know what? I am gonna go to that concert tomorrow and
Not to
have
work.
and yeah, and have a good time. Doesn't mean I have to get like crazy faded or anything, but and then I'm gonna rest tomorrow because I have a lot of days. Like,
Yeah.
I have like almost a year of days. So
So I have also what I find is I have a schedule, and I know what that whatever which mean is, but I have a schedule that does not jitter. It is Monday through Friday, these hours always. And people in retail or food services or whatever, they be having these ups and downs, and like, you know what I'm saying? They therefore it becomes a task for them to just do basic things like make an appointment for their kids to go see the eye doctor. You know what I'm saying? It becomes like I gotta haggle, I gotta hassle, I gotta work with somebody, and you gotta get those hours covered, which is bullshit because it's not their job. They're not managing people. You know what I'm saying? It's the manager's person who's better saying it, and it's horseshit that it comes down to that sometimes. And so I like having a normal, you know, ebb and flow. So it's like that's why I'm never like angry or mad at people saying like, or you know, two are out there trying to fight the power or get better treatment for themselves and other employees and stuff like that. It's definitely super pro union and so forth. But I just like that. It's because I don't live it that I take what comes with my job. My job is not, like I said, I'm not paid the best, but I do have some of the best benefits in, honest to God, throughout the United States. There's rarely anybody who's doing better than what better than me benefits wise. So it's
And
like,
that's a real give and take too, because if you got some whack benefits, you're pre-chicken shit. You are
if I had
paying.
whack benefits, they would have had to pay, they have to be paying me off the ass. It just is what it is. I can accept what would be was essentially shittier money because I got like I said, I got 12 weeks off from my son. I tell people this all the time. This is the one reason that I'm super duper like always dedicated to the gig. They paid for my father's funeral.
No, wow.
Whoa.
They had a fund for that set aside for people like me who, you know, didn't have like the dough to pay for, you know what I'm saying, a family member's funeral. I didn't even know I've also told the story, like I said, that is when I became a man, because my father was married to a woman who abused drugs and therefore just didn't have her head on a swivel. And me, his youngest child, ended up being the person who had to make funeral arrangements for him and pay for him and so forth. You know what I'm saying? And so my gig paid for that, man. And I and like and so I have a certain amount of loyalty to them based on that shit. You know what I'm saying? So, but I know why other people wouldn't, because like, you know, some jobs is like, oh, well, you know, I realize your mama died, but I really need you in on Saturday because it is what it is. And it's like, yeah, you're fucking people. Of course they're not gonna be loyal to you. So
No, right. That's why, like, for also speaking of that FedEx, that contractor, I actually opted out. I didn't, I mean, granted, I wasn't there that long, but I opted out. I didn't even take their insurance because it was so, like, to my remembrance of what it was before, because even like the casino changed again. But the price of a single person's insurance through the FedEx, it felt in my head, I'm like, this feels like it was the same price as it was for a family of, you know, I had a family size. So I'm like, no, I'm not going to take it for this idea just because of I don't it would just take money out of my pocket for no reason.
And then you're in a deficit.
Yeah,
I mean, it's helpful when you have it, but then if you're like, hey, this is just temporary, go the cash route, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, this gig is not too bad. I will say, compared to what I've done food and beverage for that's technically my backbone. I almost went back. I did table games. Table games for me, it's more it drained me in my introvertness of like I can only talk to a table for so long and try to like
entertain
for while people are losing money.
Holding small talk is really fucking hard.
Yeah.
Like, and you can do it for a bit, and then after a while, it's like, oh, fuck.
Right. It's not like that. Then by the time you get home, you're like, I have nothing to give my family.
Yeah.
I don't want to talk
to nobody.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So I get that, man.
Yeah.
Now, this the finance cashier thing is pretty good just because it's perfect. I get to say I can say a little joke. They giggle. They walk away. If they're upset, they're already cooling down from being mad at the table because they lost.
Yeah,
you just come and pay whatever and they walk away. I also my jokes work because I've been told and I've already known I get pretty good tips already. Like I keep getting tips. Might be a couple change, the idea that keeps on coming.
Yep.
And the finance cashiers, they're actually it's a tip spot too. But like they're, you know, it ain't really behind the veil shit. It's like, you know, $15.50 an hour plus tips. The tips ain't that much. What I'm just saying, because I just found out this week. So maybe after probation, also it could be a year. I actually don't mind this spot, but I'm thinking about even switching to like become a slot ambassador, where it's the guy who walking around through the actual floor. When a jackpot hits, you're the one paying them out by hand and all that shit. Dang. Sometimes if it's really big, you actually walk them to the main cage and like, you know, kind of like try to look like a good job and do all
the VIP.
Yes, a little bit. And then they make a lot, apparently. I didn't know that. They make $15 an hour plus their tips are basically they're getting double pay of what I'm making every day.
Damn.
They're like $30 an hour.
That's pretty good.
So I'm like, I might jump over.
So you have to wait till after your probationary period?
Yeah, I'm only a month and a half away from probationary thing, but then you have to wait for like an opening. But also, this ain't a bad, I don't mind this. And then also I was also going to ask, just to see how bad it was. I was thinking about going up to like looking how long it would take me to get to like a supervisor spot. Mm-hmm. It's not, see if, cause, but some of the supervisors are like, I wish I could be a slot person. So it sounds like they don't make as much even as a slot person. Like,
and it might also be like stress versus pay too.
Exactly. Yeah. They could be salaried. And so they don't get to get OT or whatever. It could be any number of things.
Yeah.
It's not always. Yeah. You ever consider just maybe looking at an office gig, you know, a more, you know, regular situation?
No, because of TikTok has proven to me office people are not funny.
Again, I have worked an office gig now for, again, 21 years, technically, and made some of my best friends, some of my dearest, closest friends in life from that gig. So I always, like I said, we'll put a little respect on it. I think the right office.
Yeah. And that's the big part. The right office managed by the right person.
Correct.
You let something
thrive. Now, that's a life I've led. Now, I tell people all the time, I have had some really, not shitty, I've had one shitty manager in my history at this company. And when it was all said and done, I left that department and that woman was fired probably 2 years later. So.
No. And also, as we know from through Skim, you guys are therapy humor. You guys are very funny and you guys crack jokes and it starts because you guys break down each other and it's really good. Where I'm from the back of the house shit, where it's dirty, it's filthy, stereotypical, and I'm like, I giggle because someone got their dick sucked in the cooler idea. You know what I'm saying? That shit. So I'm like, it goes, and then like, even like, again, TikTok, but he's like, there's like this. No, office, some office people, they don't know how to get a joke. Not saying everybody. You obviously tease cool. but no, just the idea of.
It's more you I feel like you'd learn what jokes work. You just have to redo your bits.
Oh no, I like my bits bad.
He's like, I work blue. That's what it is.
That's exactly what I'm saying. Look, bro.
Last week, some lady comes up, apparently told another cashier, hey, yeah, it's kind of has a bunch of weird people out here. And she meant brown people, as an Indian, not native, but I was Indian people. And the girl cashier, she's younger. She's like in her 20s. She's like, you mean just we have people here? And she's like, no, I'm a nurse. Totally irrelevant why you're being racist. But yeah,
I'm a nurse.
No, I know. And I said to the cashier, the other cashiers and the manager, I'm like, she says she's a nurse, but she sounds more like a cop. But everybody giggled. Everyone liked it, you know?
That's a solid joke. You could make that joke in an office, and the person who wasn't comfortable with it would get talked to by HR. Were like, that was a fine joke. Get out of there with that bullshit. Tell you, man, you would do fine. Which is why I was saying to you, which is not why I'm even saying to you. I'm telling you directly right now. Go get this money and you know, stability, and don't trip. but you're younger than me, and so you can do that. You can be that way. So it's all to the good, man.
I have no experience in the office, and the idea of like not saying like, oh yeah, but like the idea of like going through a whole thing and like, I'd just be like, I don't know. This is technically my first job, even like handling money with a cat. Like it's not even a real cash register. It's a fucking. A mini fucking R2-D2 ATM right here. I type in, yep, we're going to do this. And then I have maybe a drawer of like 50s since the machine doesn't carry 50s. If somebody asks for 50s.
Yeah.
But it's so, and I don't mind it. It's like I said, and also like the slot thing is definitely talking to me down the road. But yeah, the hours are fine for me. I don't mind that third shift lifestyle. And then, being able to use the PTO, because that's another thing why I don't want to switch. Because like, if I wanted to take days off, leaving a finance cashier using PTO, you're only missing maybe $2. If like back in table games, if I called in or used PTO, you go down to your hourly wage, which was like $6 in table games, since obviously the table tips make you go up to like $30 or more. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, the fact that we're still doing that is a real American bullshit.
Yeah,
tips.
Yeah, the fact that we're saying tips is a part of your pay. No.
Yeah,
give me a fucking base pay like the rest of the goddamn planet, and the tips is bonus.
That's where
I hate that bullshit.
That's where the slot thing is also not bad, because like $15 an hour is okay.
Yeah,
and then obviously you get tipped enough to be around the $30 range, but then also at the same time in my head, I'm like. Even if I went to slots, if I called in or had something happen sick or just anal glaucoma, I didn't feel like my ass was going to work today. I was like, you still lose that much. That's a big jump of money to lose. Yeah, this finance cashier is like that sweet pocket for me. I'm like, yeah, it's just a couple bucks difference.
It might be a good ride for a while. You know, you hang in it, then you figure out where you bounce to next. Now to kind of switch it up, T, what you been up to, man? What's new in your world?
Just it's the vibes, bro. It has been just hustling, just working, like, you know, not post holidays, but then not really, because Vanessa's birthday is here at the end of the week, which means if anybody of my people's birthdays, I'm taking the days off around them.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like you said, I got the days off around Vanessa's birthday, so I can just kind of kick it and vibe, man. Been playing Horizon. Which we'll talk about when we get to, you know, whenever we get the games.
Yeah.
And if we get the games, you know, no worries if we don't. Yeah, it's been a very chill winter thus far, you know what I'm saying? I've been very relaxed. I'm still exercising, still on my grind, man.
I see you posting those badges.
Yeah. They give me the cheapest exercise. What better game than that, man?
It really is. My wife and I talk about this, and just like probably the most brilliant thing that Apple has done is gamifying exercise. And if you're like achievement hunter, trophy hunter, man.
Bro, I was on that New Year's one. The New Year's one was like, yo, just close all your rings 7 days straight. Well, I'm already doing that. So boom. Hit me up with that. It's pretty. They hit you with them pretty ass the achievements too, man.
You get a little
So
trophy case, you know?
it really is. You know what I'm saying? It's just scroll up, bro. Yeah. So yeah,
I
man.
think we've said this before in a previous podcast, like whoever designs them too, man, with the lighting and
They did a
everything,
yeah, bro. That shit.
they're not
That
playing.
yeah, bro. I'm telling you, man. Like that is such a vibe. And just yo, man, like I said, it's been real chill. We had Delvin on Skim the other day, the Skim that comes out this week. So you'll get some Delvin and T mashup, and it's pretty good. It's not, and we ended up not even doing a regular show. We ended up chopping it up, and then I was like, yeah, we done held this man down for this long. Let's just, hammer the asshole and get the fuck up out of here. So it ends up being a very special Skim. So it ended up being really good. We had to do some we got some issues in the house, but you know what that is behind the scenes. I ain't trying to really put it out blast because I've yet to actually talk about that to the person I need to talk to about.
Yeah, we'll let you work that out.
Yeah, so until I can sit down and chop it up with that person directly, it is that needs to be addressed. But when you listen to my show this week, I need you to listen to the beginning and the end. You'll notice some things changed because they had to.
Okay. I
So
follow. I follow. We'll discuss off
yeah,
Zoom.
for sure, for sure, for sure. Like I said, that's been the only like chaotic kind of vibe. Me, Ant, and Box went out to a breakfast a New Year, the second, because we all had it off, and we passed off gifts, and that was dope. You know what I'm saying?
Nice.
So that we got to handle that as we do.
Oh, what'd you get for the holidays?
Oh my God. I guess so. What did I get? Okay, Vanessa got me a shirt, a stocking, literally chock full of candy. It's so much candy, bro. It's a bucket of candy over here in my kitchen, bro. That I'm like, we just keep hitting that up every now and again. It's gonna be here for a while. It's like it's
Long
so
enough
much
to be
candy.
like, now we fill it up with Valentine's candy.
Yeah, what
So,
the fuck? What? She got me something else, and I can't think of what it is.
here comes the Easter candy.
Jeez,
Yep.
Louise. And then like Vanessa's people always give me like a $50 gift card, and so I just and then my son, of course, from one of his family got a $100 gift card, but he ain't want it, and he's like, yo, come
What?
on, you'll see, I got it's cool, I'll give you the cash for it.
What
So
was the card for?
$100 Amazon.
Oh, pfft,
Yeah,
what?
so I gave him the cash for it.
Oh,
And
you didn't treat it like food stamps? All right,
no,
I'll
never.
give you
I'll give
60 bucks
you
for
here. Yeah, that's for
that
strangers, not the fruit of my goddamn loom. You know what I'm
Hey,
saying?
he's got to learn, man. You know,
Hey, no, yeah, he got to learn that his dad is never gonna play him. That's the lesson taught there. And so I just used that my gift card along with that gift card to cop the upgraded hard drive for the PlayStation 5. So that's how I end up upgrading that drive finally. Which is, I want you to know, it shouldn't be as relaxing or taking a relief. It shouldn't be such a relief to do something so piddling and so small, but to now have the storage and not be worried about the storage is a very nice feeling. But again, it should not be that deep. I should not be that like, but I truly am like, oh man, thank
Yeah,
God. I ain't got to
both of
worry
these
about
companies are
that.
on some bullshit with these baby ass drives. Like,
For
you know
sure.
the games are bigger.
By
The
a
fuck are you
lot.
doing?
By like, you
By
know what
a
I'm saying?
lot.
Yeah. So
We can just talk audio files.
yeah,
It's a
yeah.
lot.
Because almost all of them have to come with their worldwide files. So it's like all the language packs usually come on these. It's crazy how big games have gotten. And so yeah. But that yeah, it's very nice. And that's the thing, man. Like it is Horizon, it is Marvel Snap, and that's it right now.
Yeah.
And it's like,
Yeah.
what's
Fucking
your level in
nerd.
Snap right now, Fowler?
The collector's level?
You know that little green badge underneath your icon.
1801.
I'm out here playing every day, multiple times in any given day. 949. That man is at twice what I am. That just lets you know how hard he going. So, it, but it's great. And so that's basically been it, man. Everybody got what they wanted for Christmas from in the house. I feel good about that. I basically ended up getting all the games that I wanted throughout the year. Mm-hmm. Finally, just got them all.
One dump.
I do. Yeah. Yeah. It was like a wild stack of games underneath that tree this year. And so, I felt good about that. And that's pretty dope. Christmas really turned out real well, man. I love Christmas. It's one of my like favorite times. I'm saying, I know it seems weird that the atheist fucks with Christmas so hard, but we're celebrating Saturnalia. We out here celebrating, winter solstice. We'll direct that traffic wherever it needs to be directed and, motherfucking moving. And it just really was a great time this year, man. And I love it. And, it's been good, man. Life has been pretty tight, man.
Nice.
That's been the vibe.
What, Mike, what did you get for Christmas?
I got a Matrix like fucking like thick fleece with like a flannel mm-hmm. that I picked up from Burlington. And then for me, honestly, I didn't get that much. Besides, I think I got some PlayStation money. Cause I know I got that through my birthday, but I don't remember. I got a couple PSN cards. I can't remember what I bought them with. Oh no, I got Crisis Core. Hmm. Yeah, I got Crisis Core remake. Remaster, excuse me.
Yeah, not remake.
Yeah, it's remastered. And then at the house we got a MetaQuest 2.
Okay.
Yeah. And it seems fun. I feel bad for him only because his brother has kind of wrapped his world around it, and like we you gotta give him a break. This kid is like a 5-year-old just living in the VR world more than he's in the real world. He's just like, I need to be on the VR. Yeah. And
it's not good for your eyes.
I played a little bit of Beat Saber. I played a little bit enough that I bought the weekend music pack.
Uh-huh.
And then I played
Beat Saber. Such a fun game.
They gave it away for free with every time you turn it on or set one up this holiday.
Uh-huh.
And then I also it came also with Resident Evil 4.
Nice.
And I only played a little bit, and I did not know this. I was like, where's the knife for this goddamn to hit these boxes? Apparently I had to look around my waist more. I couldn't find it. So I was just capping boxes like go crack, and then I ran out of ammo when I actually got into the actual village. So that's where I stopped. But I've been on I'm pretty far into Crisis Core, but this past week and a half, maybe 2 weeks, I have not touched my PlayStation at all, basically. Just been kind of really more been watching movies and Marvel Snap. Marvel yeah. Snap is that shit's great.
That shit in my fucking veins, bro.
I'm technically playing it right now.
See, I put it back down immediately because I would have started playing it. So I was like, put that shit down. Don't do that. I got Horizon on the TV over here, bro. I can't because I'm in a cauldron, so I can't save it.
Oh.
So it's just on over here. So
just waiting.
If I run over there right quick and have to wiggle the sticks, you know what it is.
Yeah, I'll jump into my shit. Since we recorded just a couple weeks ago, I fucking have had so much stuff going on. One, it's just the end of that first part of the school year, which I have to say within the month of December, work has improved immensely.
Excellent.
But it's just, I've really just been focusing on my school site and really letting the district shit and the state shit and political shit kind of just not be in my head. I've also been more direct with people too, where I'm just like, I'm not fucking with you. Like, that's just what it is. And so that kind of keeps people from like asking me things, because I'm just like, no, I'm not going to do that. Or that's not a good idea. But so, yeah, like I said, work has really, really gotten a lot better, and just focusing on the students more and the teachers more, the more I can give them, the more they want to give to the kids. So I'm just like, fucking, that's tight. And then we, like, the first week of winter break, we went to Mexico City, and that shit was amazing. But before I get into Mexico City, we had to fly to Mexico City. Now, I hate fucking flying, like, so much. I do not like it at all. But one of the things that is nice is I can be uninterrupted and watch, like, I'll download like some shows. And I have a bunch of shows where I've just had a few left. Like, I had two episodes of She-Hulk left, wrap that up. I had a few episodes of Andor left, I wrap that up. And She-Hulk, damn, like, people really said that finale was groundbreaking on breaking the fourth wall. It was. That was another, that was like fucking brilliant. That was so good. Like, I can't believe they pulled that off the way they did. When she called out like how corny everything was like going, I was like, fuck, this is so smart. It was well done. Like, I couldn't believe it. What
Yeah.
did you guys think of that last episode?
I loved all of She-Hulk. I love She-Hulk end to end. Whenever I hear people talk greasy about it on the internet, I'm just like, you don't like women though, so I can't trust your shit. Because you know what it is like? It's like hardcore comic fans, they rarely spoke ill of it. They'd be like, oh, you know what I'm saying? They could have did this right, they could have did this different. But they seem otherwise okay and happy to have seen She-Hulk on the big screen, on the, you know, on the TV or whatever. But then it'd be motherfuckers who just was like, this is too woke, and we all know woke is just them saying, basically damn near saying the N-word. It's just coded now. And so
Exactly.
I was just like, okay, buddy, whatever.
Well, and the thing was too is that there was nothing about it, in my opinion. It was just clever.
Correct.
I don't feel like it was politically charged or woke. It wasn't. It was
Yeah.
really, how was it woke in comparison to a fucking Law and Order? There's a person who did a bad thing and a person trying to bust him.
Exactly.
That's all it is. Like,
It's like a new age night court,
yeah.
only the daytime.
I can give it that. No, for sure, because it's that weird ensemble. Like, you have your favorite person, you kind of really don't know where it's going. It's funny as shit. Yeah, but I totally get what you're saying. And then when they introduced her sort of love interest, and it was like, I thought it was just gonna be a single thing, but when he did the walk of shame, that had me fucking, I was rolling so hard.
Yeah, it's too good. It was too good, man. And I say what it is they pointed out the bullshit. They basically knew what was going to happen. The writers were smart enough to like know how the internet was going to react, and then basically wrote that into the show. And then the internet it just reacted. So then they was like, oh, well, it's like you're just fucked. You don't know how to get around this because you actually end up doing exactly what they said you're going to do, being
No,
little bitches on the
they
internet.
painted the internet into a corner where they're like, I don't know how you're going to get out because we already covered your steps.
So is what I was like, yeah, you Jeff, so
Did
and so is
you watch it, Mike?
of course. I am with everybody else. I really, well, not everybody, I guess apparently. I liked it a lot. I think also I don't take anything that I see on the internet no more of what their feelings of any of these comic book things, because I feel there is more vocal minority yelling and crying over what the mass
Oh yeah.
majority of the fans are saying,
For sure.
because it is really good. And then a writer for Marvel, Dan Slott, even just proved a point this about last month or but and a couple weeks ago. He goes, you guys said She-Hulk's too woke, or you guys cried when she twerked, but nobody said a word when Tony had chicks on a stripper pole in a jet back 10 years ago.
Yeah.
But
Now this is
when
the problem.
She-Hulk and Megan Thee Stallion twerking
Yeah.
is a problem.
Well, and that's the sort of reverse snowflake thing too. Oh, you'll get these people easily triggered, snowflakes. And then it's like, but this little ass shake is a problem. But he fully had hoes over here.
Yeah.
And
He fucked different people in each movie, basically. Yeah. Then go like this. I love you, Penny Pepper Potts. Like,
yep. But, exactly.
The only thing about She-Hulk I didn't like, only because of, as a comic book guy, is the final reveal of what Bruce was doing and how they just kind of like popped it up.
Yeah.
It made me laugh so hard when that little bald fucker comes out.
Yeah. And he had a fire tuck fucking haircut. That's not my Scar.
Yeah.
Scar is cool. I have his first run. And I almost had the fucking artist on my fucking show, but he didn't reply back after he said, yeah, I will. But yeah.
I could see that if you do, like, so for me, who I don't have that reference point, it hit me in a different direction because, again, it was just so like, what is happening here? You know?
Well, yeah, you're like, why is there this teenage boy here?
Yeah.
Like, you don't even know nothing. I'm like, yeah. And then you see him look like a fucking, the Friar Tuck looked like he just came up. Yeah. Like,
but that show, it was super well done. I'm sure there'll be a season two. It definitely was super awesome. I can't wait to see where they take it. Andor.
This is what I want to know about. Because I know where you started with. How'd you end with it?
I ended up enjoying it. But here's the notes I put down. It's about 12% brilliance per episode. Like, the other sort of 88%, is boring as fuck. It felt like Lord of the Rings, where it's like, I don't like the Lord of the Rings movie. I never did. And okay. So it's a lot of setup and just display and posturing. And it's like, I also wrote down this season was three episodes too long. Pare it down, get more action in, get like when the writing was on point, fuck, it was on point. When the action was happening, it was brilliant. When the suspense was happening, like when it was firing on all cylinders, it was like, this is a ride. Like, oh shit.
Yeah.
And then it was like, and then we're going to talk about this plan. And then we're going to wonder who the mystery person is. And then we're going to see what's going on in this political thing. It was just like, it was either really tight or way too loose. And I was like, yeah, this could have been a 9 episode instead of 12 episode. And then I think it would have been a lot better. I don't think it was bad. Like, I'm in no way am I saying like, this is a terrible show. What a fucking joke. It was just like, it didn't, for me, it wasn't balanced. I felt like it was just off. I know not every series is like always on fire. You always have that lull episode two because the show's shifting gears a little bit or introducing something new. But this one, like I said, was just when I really watched every episode. And I was, after, you were right. Like, once you get into the second, third episode, it clicks where it's like, because I think I said this on the last one, it wasn't a Star Wars show.
Yeah.
It was its own standalone thing. It's different. So I wasn't going to see fucking Grogu, I wasn't going to see Boba Fett, or in the end, I wasn't expecting Darth Vader to fucking cruise on through, you know?
Yeah.
Like, these were the characters in it. But it just, it wasn't complete. Like, the guy who had the vendetta to solve the case from the get-go.
Yeah.
Give him some more character. He just kind of laid flat the whole time. Homegirl who had a hard-on for being like, they kept busting his balls all the way through that he like really was just like, he was a punching bag.
So Andor is in case you the listeners want to know, it is
I also titled it Blandor.
It is four three episode arcs throughout the entirety of this first season. It'll be the same for the second season, and that's it. They say they're gonna do 12 each. That's just what it is. And it might be one of the best TV shows I've ever watched in my entire fucking life, bruv. When that episode, when they were breaking out the prison And we get Lord of the Rings. Speaking of which, we get Andy Serkis doing his speech, and then in that same episode, we get Stellan Skarsgård doing his speech. Bruh, I'm like, them some. That's some y'all got some y'all trying to get them Emmys, Golden Globes type shit. I see what that is. I already know
that's
what
it, when the show.
I already know
firing,
what it's about to be.
Like that jailbreak shit. Like this. Like even like the cinematography, fucking top shelf. Yeah, they were really doing some shit.
Just wow. What did I watch the other day? And I was like, what the fuck is going on with this cinematography? It's so good. And it was just like, oh, is that dumbass not dumb? It was just that Julia Roberts George Clooney movie on Peacock.
Oh, I haven't seen it. I know what you're talking about because I keep seeing it on like buses and
Ticket
shit.
Ticket One or something.
Ticket to Paradise, I think.
Okay.
Like it's just a rom-com, standard rom-com, family rom-com kind of vibes. But whoever DP'd that movie was just like, it might be a rom-com, but I'm about to show y'all some art. I'm about to show y'all some shit. And when I film this, and like I said, Andor, Tony Gilroy came out there, show ran the shit out that show, bro. It's so good. And I'm like, I just go up for it, bro. And I get it if you don't. It's cool. It is, like Sharpie said, when it works so well that like I said, it just everything else gets like, when it didn't work well for me, which is kind of like I said, that first arc, it all gets pushed aside. So you are right in that regard, like them three episodes, them first three episodes. But everything after that, I'm riding. The political intrigue and all that shit, I'm down for it, man. It's like Game of Thrones in space. Fuck yeah. You know what I'm saying?
And I could give it that. It definitely did have like that Game of Thrones in space because it was all these in a sense, families quarreling, you know. Mm-hmm.
So I don't know, man. I really dug it, but I'm glad you got through. Yeah. End up taking getting it all to watch.
You know what I did watch because you just brought up rom coms right now.
Yeah.
And I was rolling, and it was not a good movie. That fucking it's Channing Tatum and Sandra Bullock. They did.
I started it, Velocity. And I was like, it just made me uncomfortable.
It's dumb. It's fucking funny.
It's kind of funny.
Yeah. Like there were moments where I was like
in the Brad Pitt part.
Yeah. Laugh out loud. It really felt like a throwback. It's just so dumb. It's just so dumb. You know? It's one of those like next time you get a cold, not that I'm wishing a cold on you, that's a movie you watch. You know,
where fair enough.
You got a little bit of a NyQuil haze happening and you're just like you know, you watch it, you're just like that's just funny. You know?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, that's the level right there.
Nice, nice.
But my wife put it best. She said, it felt like Romancing the Stone, if you remember that era. It's that vibe, you know? So, you're not expecting it. It wasn't like the effects maybe weren't the best. Cinematography maybe wasn't the best. Jokes were amateur. Like, it was not a good movie, but it was fucking hilarious. I loved it. You know what I did watch last night, though? Have you guys seen The Menu?
Yep.
I don't want to watch it. I'm hip to it, but I don't want to watch it.
No, watch it. Watch it. Tell me why you don't want to watch it, and I'll give you my judgment.
It's some old cannibal shit, right?
No.
No.
Oh, shit.
No.
All right. Which one is the movie about the cannibals?
That's what I thought, too.
Some movie came out last year, got some cannibals in it, within this, whatever.
Yeah, that was the episode of Atlanta when they were eating fucking fried hands.
I actually was going to say I watched The Menu, and I'm not going to spoil it for T, but I wish, do not look it up. Just go in blind.
Yeah.
For sure, I'm trying to find a movie, the movie which was the cannibal movie.
And then I actually really enjoyed it. Because of pie with the background in the culinary stuff.
Yeah.
And then it really, I have to give shout out, which you guys have done before, but The Menu, the first half, and then the how he interprets why he does stuff.
Yeah.
Is spot on to what the food service industry of level really is.
And I think that's where my first job was in food service. So it was like, I tapped into a lot of little things. And the writing is phenomenal. The mystery is like, what are they doing? Like it's, It is the darkest of dark comedies.
Okay.
It's
How's
right.
how's Princess Peach in it?
Good.
It's oh.
Anya Taylor-Joy.
Yeah.
Is that the chess girl?
Yes.
I've no idea.
Yeah,
Yeah.
Queen's Gambit. Yes. Yes, yes,
Oh,
yes.
did you haven't watched Queen's Gambit?
Queen. Fuck, I'm
It's
doing
good.
this though.
No, watch it.
It's
I'm
good.
telling you, man. Stop playing. Like, listen, if you're gonna watch Game of Thrones in space, watch Queen's Gambit. It's very, very good.
Yeah.
Yeah. But no, she was good in that too. She played her role really well. And it's one of those, like, it doesn't give up everything at once as it
Okay.
starts like unpeeling. It really does have subtle but strong plot twists along the way where
Okay.
you're like, oh fuck, so this is where they're going. And then it doesn't. And it really keeps, it's uncomfortable at times. The ending, I was like, yeah, you could not do this differently. Like, that was fucking on point. That movie was so good. And it made me want to rewatch The Bear
I
because
was
I
about to
was
say,
like,
how does it relate, like in a
it's a parallel
was
because
2022 the year of the year of
the shit work,
food
yeah,
service
rebellion.
projects, I guess,
Yeah.
whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what, you took the words out of my mouth. I was gonna say it gave me the bear vibes, but obviously of a more flavorful, flagrant way of, like, because of obviously what it's about in the menu. But I was gonna say, don't let, because they kind of sold it as it was supposed to be horror.
Yeah,
It's
that's what it felt like. And I watch horror movies. Yeah.
not
So
horror. It's
that's what I'm
more,
saying. It's just the darkest of dark comedies. Okay.
it's more of a suspense thriller
Yeah.
than horror. There is some graphical spots, but it is more socially and mentally horror, like that idea.
Any jump scares, anything that's gonna make me
No,
go, oh shit,
no
bitch.
jump scares.
No.
It
Okay.
definitely has more, what Mike was saying, it's a more
It's
social
artsy fartsy.
commentary.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, because is it an A24 movie? Because it felt like it.
No, because not like that. I was gonna say it's one of the ones that Warner Brothers must have snuck in because it's obviously on HBO Max.
Yeah,
But
no, it's I would highly recommend watching it. It just was like the way the characters develop, how everyone's introduced, like you think you know off, like out the gate, like what the breakdown's gonna be, and then all of a sudden it's like, okay, this is crazy. Like it fucks with your head as it's fucking with the character's head. My favorite part, and I can't wait for you to get there, is when everyone gets their fucking tortillas.
yeah.
And I was just like, God damn, this is like so smart because all the food is like elevated intellectual, you know? Damn,
Yeah.
it's a fucking great movie.
I also I do wish there's a way to get access to talk to the people. I'm very interested to see, because the menu does the same thing that some of these other movies do, is it feels like these writers do not care about how we get there. They just want to get you to the situation that they have thought of.
Yeah.
Because when, like, if T and I was, when I first started the menu, which is not technically spoiling, I'm just saying it goes so fast to get you into the situation of the menu. It feels light. But then the whole part of the situation is so strongly written. It kind of lets you kind of give up, like, yeah, what are the coincidences? These guys are going on a boat to go to a dinner.
They hit you with the storyline okie doke because you're like, this ain't shit, and then you're like, I'm drowning.
Because it goes, like, there's some moments of, like, people are looking at each other because it does, like, that whodunit, like, kind of look like Glass Onion. Glass Onion was
Yeah.
another good movie to watch. But, like, they look at each other, oh, you're, oh, why do they have the interconnection? Like, you know it's gonna come, but, like,
Yeah.
the idea of, like, just okay, and then, like, yes, there's some really good social commentary
Yeah.
in it.
Which, you know, and hearing Mike talk reminds me of something that's a lost art is You guys remember the good old fucking director's commentaries on DVDs and shit?
Yeah.
I miss them, and whenever
Man.
I get them, I still listen to them.
Because, like, this is a movie that needs that. Like, I would love to rewatch it with a commentary on because it gives you those little, I need an explanation here, or I need to know how, like, because how Mike said, when it starts off, it's like, ah, this is a little bullshitty ass movie. Like, it's not gonna be no big thing.
Yeah.
And then, so it's like, why did they go in that direction? So, man, I like these streaming services need to figure out how to incorporate the director's commentary because there's a lot of good movies that need that.
All they gotta do is put it on the essay on the secondary audio program, which normally,
Yeah.
they reserve for Spanish, but you don't have to put Spanish there. You can use it for
Yes,
whatever.
you can put whatever audio. I mean, because the same would be like for Andor. Like, if they
Yeah.
went back and were like, did you catch this? Do you understand? Or here's the purpose behind this conversation. Like,
So what Disney, I mean, this is not to ricochet too far away, but what Disney has been good about is they've been putting out whole ass making up documentaries after a little bit for every show. So
Yes.
at some point they'll probably hook us up with a little something, something for Andor. So that's kind of,
Yeah.
that's kind of dope.
Now let me jump into my Mexico City trip and then I'll bring it back around again. Mexico City was fucking fantastic.
It looks so dope, bro.
It was one of the best trips. So we go down to Mexico City. Here's the sort of aha that I had.
Get me there first. What made y'all say Mexico City? Let's go, babe.
Culture. Like,
Fuck with it.
so actually before the pandemic, we had that summer of 2020, we were going to spend a few days in Mexico City and then a few days in Cancun. So we were going
Okay.
to do the culture trip and then the sort
Chill out
of
trip.
chill out
Yeah.
trip. And but all the things that we did were all the things we wanted to do. Like, we went to visit the pyramids in Teotihuacan. That shit, like, it fucked with my head, like in a big way, because you see all this architecture and these lines are straight.
Yeah.
Like, so it's not all like, oh, yeah, right, it's fucking pyramids and they're all jaggedy and they just stack some rocks. Nah, man, I'm talking clean, fucking crisp. Like, man, these are like some fucking khakis that are creased with all the starch. I was like, damn it. Steps, you could tell everything is just like, it's all symmetrical. It's all like perfect angles. And I was just like, what type of math and tools were these guys doing? Or even the like bonding agent, where I'm like, how old is cement? You know what I mean? Like, this is fucking crazy.
Yeah.
And then thinking about like, I'm setting foot in a place where cultures thrived. Like, this wasn't just like a little like, oh, it's a fucking tree house. It's like,
Yeah.
no, I'm in a city block, like, and then when as you're in there and then you see like where, like, I think I posted the picture of like the skeletons and they're like, yeah, this is where we found these. We didn't put the skeletons here. This is where they were. So we just opened it up around them.
Yeah.
It's like insane. Like all the stuff that you would see there. So that was really cool. And then close to that, like just a few steps over, is this restaurant that my wife found out about called La Gruta. And it's in a fucking cave. So you actually go down below. And yeah, that was like an amazing experience because it's like you eat in this cave. And then their main sort of attractions, because locally they do like the insect proteins. You can
Yeah.
eat the crickets. Ant larvae and caterpillars.
Yeah.
And couldn't bring myself to the caterpillars. And definitely the ant larvae, I was like, yeah, that's a little too textury, Whereas
Shit.
like for the crickets, the way they did it is they put it like on a, if you ever had sopes are super delicious. If you don't know what that is, think of like a smaller round tostada, but instead of crunchy, it's like dense, fluffy tortilla. Like if you had three tortillas stacked. And then you stack all your like your cabbage and your meat and your beans on top of it. They're fucking delicious. But so basically it was a sope with guac and then the crickets on top. So it wasn't like you were just popping them individually. But there were
Yeah.
baskets, like people outside as we were walking through Mexico City that just had baskets of fucking crickets that you just they were already roasted and seasoned and you just fucking grab them. But It was like I ate a first few bites and I was like, okay, I'm eating this. But then, like, and this happened to my wife too. She brought it up first, but like your head sort of flips where it's like, that's a fucking leg in my mouth. Like, I'm eating crickets right now. Like, I think
Like
it's a.
that. You eat chicken legs all the time. Relax.
Ain't
Catch
the same.
the
Ain't the same, man.
vibe. You
You
didn't
know
had a you didn't had a leg
what?
or two in your mouth in your day, my guy.
Hey,
Oh
pause.
my
But
God. How's all of y'all Spanish? You know what I'm saying? When y'all get down there, y'all be able to flip it relatively
oh, that's a
easy.
good question. Nobody speaks Spanish, and I barely do. So that was a problem. So they were very, and I did tell my family prior, I was like, I'm gonna need a lot of patience from you guys. Though I do speak a lot of Spanish at work, my Spanish is very Southern Californian Spanish.
Yeah, okay.
And I can get away with some like Spanglish in there, you know, so
Yeah.
it's we could work together. Down there, I knew it was gonna be faster. I knew like it's just a different, not completely different dialect, but it's just the cadence is different. So
So like the Queen Spanish, you know what I'm saying? The King Spanish is, of course, European Spanish,
yeah.
which has, you know, that what is it? The
The Vosotros, yeah.
Vosotros. We're like, and so of course, you over here, you speaking like, you know, the Southern Cali kind of vibe, and they
Yeah.
over there speaking like, you know what I'm saying?
That's
It's
I don't know if
like,
you guys have seen those TikToks where it's like where it's like me speaking my Spanish, and in their head it's very like cool, direct
yeah.
Spanish. You know, it's like boom, I'm dialed in. And then they hear themselves back and they're like, Me llamo, yo quiero carne asada tacos. And it's like, and
Oh my
so
God.
the whole time as I'm talking to people where I'm like, oh, how much is this? Can we get two of these? Where's the this and that? And I know in my head, I'm like, I'm fucking whipping out this Spanish. But I know aloud, I'm like, ¿Dónde está el baño por mi son? Like, I was like, God, dude, they're gonna fucking throw me out this country.
Dos burritos, my
Those
guy. Good,
burritos.
my good man.
Yeah. But so we chose Mexico City for these reasons, to see the pyramids, to
Yeah.
go to Frida Kahlo's house,
Dope.
to go in the flat bottom boats, to just like I said, it's all culture shit, you know? Like going to Frida Kahlo's house was amazing because it was like it's a museum, but it's her fucking house, you
Yeah.
know? So again, it's one of those moments of like you hosted here. Like you lived in this place. Like this is the bed that you died in, you know? Like it
Yeah.
just was crazy. And then in this certain area, Xochimilco is the name of it. They do these because Mexico City is built on a dry lake bed. And that's why it's always sinking and has real bad earthquakes. But then there's still like little rivers and like tributaries going through. So in that other place, you get these flat bottom boats. You don't really go anywhere. You just party on these boats. And so as you're on the boat hanging out, like another little like canoe will come by and it's like, you want to buy some tacos? You want to buy some beers? And then
Hell
you chunk your
yeah.
cash. Yeah. And then fucking mariachis come by and they're like, hey, you want a fucking mariachi? Yeah. And then like, I'm gonna hitch up on you. And then we went through one point where it was six boats, like three and three attached. And
Nice.
they were getting down, you know? So my friend, so I have a friend who I grew up with him, like during, we went to two different high schools, but we had mutual friends and we started hanging out since then. So I've known him, fuck, since like 93 or so. We've known
Yeah.
each other for a long time. But like he's a roadie, so he's been all over the world and eventually decided the place he wanted to stay was in Mexico City. And he's just like, culturally, it's a beautiful place to be. He's all, plus it's like wildly inexpensive. But so he's like, you come out. So I was fortunate enough to be able to meet up with him because then he can show us around and kind of help navigate us. And he was like, yeah, man. He's like, if you could do this like on a weekend, he's like, it's going off. He's like, and it's kind of bumper boats too. These boats are just fucking constantly knocking on each other. He's like, but the music is going off. People are just drinking. Like everyone's just having a good time. So it's just the same as like people being on party boats, same concept, you know? And you do it for like 2 hours to however long you want. And
Yeah.
so that was kind of cool. the downside was Gavin got sick on that day, and I think the boats was the main thing he wanted to do. But he kind of did it to himself because this fool, even though we're like, hey man, you got a sensitive stomach, stop eating all the candy. He ate all the candy. Hey, stop eating all the sweetbreads. What does he do? Eat all the sweetbreads.
Lay
So
off
he
them
wakes up.
caterpillar larvae.
Yep. And so he wakes up in the middle of the night feeling shitty. And the next day he's just throwing up. We're like, fuck, man, this
Yuck.
sucks. Like, so he was just the way the boats are too is like they really are flat. And then the sides kind of stick out a little. And so you can kind of like, in a sense, lay in the sun. And so he laid down for the majority of the boat ride and threw up over the side a couple times. He was fucked. And then
Oh.
from there, when we were going to the Frida Kahlo Museum, my friend was like, listen, I don't live very far. Gavin can just come over to my house. He could just go to sleep and you guys can go to the museum. So we ended up breaking apart and Gavin slept at his crib. Like,
Yeah.
we ended up not leaving that area until. I mean, we were out there from like, I think 11 until probably about 11, like 11 to 11. So then my friend took us to a restaurant close to his house and we got to just see like basically where he lived and it was like phenomenal. We went to a fucking castle and that shit was crazy because it's like a big national museum. But as you're going up, you're like, oh, this bitch is a castle. Like, okay, this is what they say, you know, like.
This castle was straight castling.
Yeah, right. It was no White Castle, man. It wasn't like, you know, like these are fake pillars and shit. No, this was real. But and it was just like, it was a museum, but it was like, you go into one section, you're like, oh, I saw a bunch of shit in here. And then you're like, what's that door? Oh, it's a whole nother wing. What's that door? It's a whole nother wing. Like,
Nice.
just four or five different sections of shit to see that really kind of just documented the history of the area. So that was like phenomenal. But Mexico City in itself, when you're in the like main area,
Yeah.
that place is intense. Like,
I was gonna ask, like, so you know, you basically bang LA, but Mexico City is the largest city in North America. It is massive in ways that I don't think people grasp. What was it like being in the city? You're like, I come from a big city, I kind of know what I'm doing. You get to a city that you're like, oh no, I'm all wrong.
so my friend put it best, and he said that Mexico City is similar to New York in that it is made up of boroughs.
Okay.
He's like, so as you get out, so when we went to different areas where he was like, oh, this is Roma Norte, like this is the Beverly Hills ish area, and this is
Okay.
this area. And so you could see how it all contrasts. But when you are in, like, I think it's considered like the downtown or more central area.
The Manhattan.
Yeah, it's narrow fucking streets. People everywhere, and it's when I say it's intense, it's like it's just going. They go with the flow or stay the fuck back. Like, but people aren't me. They weren't aggressive. People just doing their shit. But it's like a lot of whistles being blown, horns, like they honk their horns. Oh, you've never seen intense driving like this either. Like the way they drive out there is very aggressive. But not one fucking accident. And I'm talking bumper to bumper. Like,
Yeah.
there were three lanes going in one direction and then two lanes going in the opposite direction. Now, the three lanes were locked and we needed to go across them. My Uber driver was unfazed. He was like, I'm pulling up to the bumper of this car, not touching. But I swear I could just fit a paper. And then he made his way across the three lanes of traffic, got us to the other side. That shit has not happened in the States, you
Bruh,
know?
this is what it felt like for me when I was driving in Southern California. I hate that shit. Exits on either side of the damn highway. Like, you get over here, you gotta get off. They're like, stop that. Don't do
Okay. And so
that
the
to
guy was asking, one of the drivers was asking me, he's like, I hear that LA traffic is bad. Like it's
me.
very bumper to bumper. I go, no, you guys are literally bumper to bumper.
Yeah.
Like we
Like,
at least use,
we thought we was
yeah.
bumper to bumper, but no, y'all
Oh,
is
no.
actually.
No, because you guys said, nah, there's 4 feet of space. So, and they all drive small cars. They're like, it's not SUVs and it's like all these like off brand fucking Mitsubishis and shit where I was like,
Yeah.
this is a Ford? Like, what the fuck are you talking about? But they're all like the very small compact vehicles.
Yeah, very European in that regard.
Yeah, exactly. And they just all fucking jockey for space, or it's like the arrows clearly say these cars are coming north, these cars are going south, but the cars going south are like, nobody's in the north lane right now, so let's use those. Like, it's fucking real. Wild.
That's real as shit.
But so that's how intense it is, though. Like, and my friend was saying, he's like, and my wife has been to New York, so she did say, she's like, it did feel very similar, but more intense. It's, when I say, you know what it is? It's not intense. It's like when you get, when you boil down a syrup into a concentrate. It's just like, the essence is there. It's just way more, you know?
Yeah.
But I highly recommend people go. Like, one, our stay there for 4 days, dirt cheap. The most expensive was the flight itself, but what I thought we were going to pay versus what we spent just for the four of us for Ubering, eating, shop, all that shit, man, I came in so under budget. Like, it was, it was ridiculous. Where I was like, oh, this whole trip was cheaper than going to Disneyland for a weekend. So, if you want to get some culture in like that, man, fucking do it. But it was great. We had an amazing time. We saw a lot of things. We tried a bunch of new different things. Just all around, it was just amazing. Now, the last thing I want to talk about, and this is where I need a lot of tease input into this. I got that turntable set up, and I fucking love it. Like, man, it is. It really, my wife was asking me, because I over the break, I used it a ton. And she's like, what is it about this? She's like, because it just seems like it would be a pain in the ass to get the record and set it up.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, I go, one, it's intentional. So, like, yep. I'm going to listen to this album, not one track. And the other piece is it's very nostalgic to me. Like, this is how I started listening to music. So I did break a rule. Shout out to Delvin. He got me the as we talked on the last podcast, and then it came really quick. This fool got me the Scott Pilgrim book series. So had that sent over to my house. So what am I doing? Fucking reading.
Can you believe this motherfucker out here reading, y'all? Right, this nerd.
Reading books.
That was hot in the street, reading books. So I told my wife I'm getting my literature up. But man, turntable life.
It's a delight. Deep. And then of course they recently just announced 3 Feet High and Rise is getting a repress. Mm-hmm. So I have now paid for it. Mind you, 3 Feet High and Rise right there. I own it. Bottomy Please released it as a essentials some years back. And I got it from them. So I own a really nice copy of 3 Feet High and Rising, but De La didn't get no money from that. Mm-hmm. Now they're going to start getting their money from it. And I have, of course, bought two versions of it. I bought the magenta version directly from the artist, and I bought the Walmart exclusive peach pressing. But it's also got a yellow pressing, a black pressing that actually, like, the cover looks way sick. So I was like, maybe. And there's a Amazon exclusive blue pressing apparently, and a rough trade or European green pressing as well. So a lot of those are coming out. My fingers is crossed that they re-release Stakes as High, which is like my second favorite De La album, but one of my favorite albums ever.
Mm-hmm.
And it, like, buying Stakes as High is prohibitively expensive.
Yeah.
Like, I almost spent $200 once on a not even a great, not even a mint copy of Stakes as High, and lost in the last minute of the bidding on eBay on that bitch. But I was about to buy it.
Yeah.
So.
But I've been loving it. Like, you know, I'll find the stuff on Discogs. We actually went up to Hollywood to Amoeba.
Amoeba, I saw it. Yeah, man. Super hype, bro.
I got my list together and, you know, kind of just shopping for different shit. But I have become I recognize I'm a little bit snobbish.
Yes.
I don't want that black vinyl.
No. So here's the deal. Depending on the circles you travel in, some motherfuckers will tell you, oh, damn, my PlayStation just put itself to rest. I hope it don't fuck my game up. Some people will tell you that black vinyl is the best vinyl and it sounds the best, and colored vinyl sounds funky.
I'm sure.
I'm like, what? You're a liar, because or I just don't have that ear and I don't care.
Yeah.
I like colored vinyl because it looks sweet.
Yes. Like, let me tell you. Okay, so I bought the Beach House Once Twice Melody. It's like their latest, and it's a thick fucking collector's edition. Four albums, two of them gold, two of them clear. The gold is the most fucking gold I've ever seen in my life. Like, it's gold. And the clear is like, it's not hazy. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, oh, this is transparent.
Yeah.
This is cl clear, clear, clear. Whereas, like, I have a couple other clear ones and I'm like, yeah, it's clear. You know? Now, nah, this one is like, is this a fucking glass album? Like, this is
Yeah.
sick. So I've just been like, one, being able to listen to a lot of the albums that I've purchased over time and stuff that I even had from way back. And then just buying like new ones. Or then remembering like, oh, I want to pick up this one, or I want to pick up that one. Or even finding stuff that I'm like, oh shit, I didn't think it'd be that hard.
Yeah.
Like, it's gonna sound super dumb, but I think it'll sound great on vinyl. I really, really want Smashing Pumpkins, Siamese Dream album.
Yes.
That bitch is like 200 bucks.
So they must not have repressed it in years, right?
No, I think the last repress was still like in the 90s
Yeah.
or something like that.
So
So
this was.
it's been a long time since the repress is there. I'm like,
Yeah.
I'm not gonna find this bitch, and I'm not paying that much money.
Nah, bro. That's the best part about this. You'll go to stores, somebody
But
will
it's,
have a copy just on a shelf somewhere,
yeah.
or better yet, you'll start getting into like, which ones will I accept the bootleg for? So
Okay, so.
I had a bootleg of Stone Temple Pilots Core because they just weren't pressing Core no more. And then maybe 3 weeks after that, the box set that they had recently pressed up, Target had like three copies of it on in their shop. So I ended up getting like it's a very nice box set of Core. It comes with like the record, of course, on like 180 gram thick ass vinyl. It comes with a Blu-ray of their MTV live performance. Like you can listen to it in Blu-ray, so surround sound type of shit. Some other it's a very nice box set. So like I had just bought the bootleg, and then I came up on the actual and official pressing that was really well done. So then you start getting into like I got a few bootlegs over here. I got Yeezus on bootleg. It's awful sounding. Got it from Canada. It sounds so bad. So that's about the worst part of bootleg game because some people they don't do it well. But I got a bootleg of Childish Gambino's Summer Madness. And I forgot his other song he released that day. And if they put him on a nice little 45, it looked great, sounds fantastic. Boom. Royalty. I got Royalty, another Gambino track. I got Royalty on a because that was a mixtape, of course. You know what I'm saying? But whoever made that record did a really good job. So I got a few. I bought a couple of bootlegs in my day, which is kind of that's the fun part about this shit right here, bro. Because vinyl bootlegs, people have been bootlegging vinyl on anything from X-rays to cardboard and shit like that. You know what I'm saying? So,
So it's been really awesome. I'm loving it. Question for you. The static, not the staticky sound, the static of the vinyl and the mat.
yeah.
What do you do to discharge it?
So you got that one brush, the anti-static brush, you know what I'm saying? The one that's a little more fuzzy, kind of like the finer hairs. The one that's not the velvet brush.
The carbon fiber.
Yeah, that is helpful. What is it you have to do? You're supposed to like touch metal and
Because I've been
then
looking at
do
like online, and there's like a fucking gun you can shoot your record with or
Yeah,
something.
it's. I mean, yeah. If it's that deep, and you feel like, hey, man, this static is it has become a whatever. But sometimes, here's where it gets real fucked up. Sometimes you get staticky pressings. It's nobody's fault but the records.
It just
And you're,
is.
yeah. It has happened, especially. So as vinyl has come back over these years, it's not like they brought back all the pressing plants that had closed. It's still only a few people around the world that still press up records. And some of these places don't do a great job. And so sometimes you just gotta have a shitty record like that. But I think, does that turntable come with a ground? Did you have to ground that turntable?
No.
Like I said, that is something that I've had experience with, that you have to basically need to you have a should just be a black cable with a
Yeah, oh
little
no, I know
weird
what you're talking about. Yeah, the
little.
little almost like the UHF from back in the day.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. I would tell you if you have not if you have that and have not grounded it, make sure you ground it just to the.
It's funny you say though, because it makes me kind of subscribe to your thought of like it's some records, because it
Yeah.
really is some records. I can play two different albums back to back, and the first one fucking cling it like it is gripped, and the next one it's like, so what? Like, no big deal.
Did you get your tone arm set how you wanted it?
Yeah.
Okay, very
And that
good.
was actually easier than what I thought it was going to be. One, I did look through a few different videos as well, and then it comes with the settings. And as I did it on my own,
Yeah.
I was already like in, I was actually right in the range.
Very good.
And then once I just tweaked it to whatever the recommendations were, I was like, oh, I was already there. Like, I'm
Yeah.
good to go. So that's been working out really good. Do you always put your little cover back on the.
Never.
Okay.
That it becomes trash almost immediately or recycling. You know what I'm saying? We
Okay.
how
I have it
we how we
there.
get down. Yeah. And so and in fact the one I have over here that I have that gold ring E3 I told you about. It doesn't even have a cover. It didn't even come with a cover, so.
Now, last one. Did you buy other jackets? Or do you
Yes,
just use whatever cover?
chill over here. So if my records don't come with an internal plastic,
Yeah.
that's what that's for. That's
Okay.
what it's supposed to be. And
Look like you're holding
then,
porn for a second. It was all blurry. Check
right.
this shit out.
Yeah.
Hey, whoa.
Everybody gets its own little plastic, just like comics. That's for the 12s. And somewhere over there, I got it for the 7s
Okay.
because I just like to keep the covers clean. This is a me thing that does not have to be a you thing. I like the hype stickers that are on the front of records. So if I can open them in a way that I can keep that sticker on there
Yeah.
clean, I do, which is
Same. I
basically
do like that too, except for the gatefolds. Like, want me to do
even with some of my gatefolds, I've been like, I'll just slice it over right here
Yeah.
and I'll just pull the record out. I won't bother.
But I
But
meant
so
what I was actually talking about was more of the album, the vinyl sleeve pocket. Like, it's the
yeah.
paper or it's like other ones. Do you ever get rid of the paper one and buy the more?
No, but like I said, I have plenty of records that just come with basically cardboard and no paper, and that's what I use
Okay.
the archival plastic joints for.
Got it, got it, got it,
So
got it.
I like I said, I have some extra for
Okay.
that. Paper's fine. I have some records over here that are older than me, that are still
No
the
big
paper
deal.
they came with. So
Yeah.
yeah, that shit is that it is fine.
Yeah.
I'm not tripping off of scratches and stuff like that. Every time you play a record, it's going to lose some of its quality.
Yeah.
Just how it works. So unless you put a harsh ass scratch across it,
It
it'll be
just is.
fine. Yeah.
Yeah, but I'm super pleased with it. I got what's coming up right now? Oh, I realized when I hit up the other day, I was like, "Did you send me something from Thrill Jockey? Like, I don't know what the fuck
Yeah.
this is."
You told me you figured out
It
that you
was an
ordered
album I had pre-ordered like 6 months ago.
Okay, right now, if you were to crack open your
Oh,
email, how many albums do you have ordered, on order, coming to you right
well,
now?
that's what I was gonna go into is so I have that one. It's Oozing Wound. Their album's coming soon. I have Arcade Fire Funeral. That's on its way. I got the Damn on the Forest Green vinyl.
Okay.
And that's all I have right now because
Okay.
I just picked up. So just in this last week, then I picked up Tyler, Colin If You
Okay.
Get Lost, and Igor.
Nice.
And then when I went to Amoeba, what did I get there? Shit, I don't remember what I picked up. But I know I got good stuff when I was there. But it's just not coming to me, or like not a one of them. But so yeah, that's kind of what's on my list. I do have a few, like I said, right now my sort of main one to look for is that Smashing Pumpkins album. Oh, do you get my text about Interpol?
Here I am, literally with my phone right now. So,
Because you said you signed up for Vinyl Me Please, right? Like you're back in?
yes, yeah. You told me about the Interpol. You need to order you that Interpol. Oh, okay. Well, then we'll take
Yeah,
care of
because
that.
I want that one. I'm not subscribed anymore. So
yeah.
Get that one for me. Let me know how much.
Yeah, gotcha.
And then we'll bring Mike back into the conversation before he falls out or needs to play like a Marvel Snap. Let's talk a little games, and then we'll get into what's up with that, and then we'll put this baby to sleep. What have you guys been playing lately?
Mike, go first.
Crisis Core remastered. I've never played it before, so this like kind of come off new, and also I know that I think they did update the combat. I think they made it closer to the Final Fantasy VII remake.
Mm-hmm.
I like it. At first, it was a little different because of it's still set up for the mobile idea. Obviously, Crisis Core was a PSP game.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. If it was PSP or Vita.
Yeah, PSP, and then but it's actually not too bad. The only because then you can also so there's only 10 chapters. I believe I am in chapter 10. I'm just right before this. I'm pretty sure I'm before the door, before the final boss. But I'm trying to clean up some trophies. And then also there's these missions through the save point that are apparently where the mobile sense is. Like they're very much not drop in, drop out, but the idea of, hey, you're going to do this mission. This mission might take only 30 seconds, might take 3 minutes, but it varies. And then you get a little reward, and then also you get a little snippet of a little bit more story because some of them are categorized like I'll make a fake title, but like stop the Wu Tai soldiers, and then that you hit that button and it makes six different things, and you go through 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and then little stories happening at the end of each mission, and the Wu Tai one involves like you get to like talk to Yuffie and all that stuff. My only complaint is it has this stupid little narrating thing goes entering combat mode over, and because of how fast is sometimes these combats pop up, it's just very like, all right, you don't have to tell me we're in combat no more, like please stop. There's yeah. Entering off entering like it's like that. Story wise, you are playing as this Zach, which is apparently a soldier that used to be like co-working with Sephiroth and these two other soldier guys that are like Sephiroth, one named Angeal and the other one is I want to say Genesis. But it's kind of a prequel to Seven. Yeah, it is a prequel to Seven. It's like kind of shows what soldier the initiative is, and it also like gives you some more backstory of Sephiroth if you've never played it before, and also like the whole program of how he became how he has like the one wing angel and all that stuff.
Okay. And then other than that, Marvel Snap,
I totally agree, and I've only been playing it for that. That's been definitely been playing it for about 2 months. Well, no, 3 months. I've been basically buying each battle pass. No, it's been 3 months. Holy fuck, it's been that long. I saw Wakanda Forever, and then Marvel Snap had a Black Panther month battle pass, and they just hit me right place, right time. And I picked it up because obviously they gave you the Black Panther card and all that fun jazz. And they're about when I first, and I still kind of do, but I'm just so much of a, they got me in a chokehold so much. I think some of their pricing is a little outrageous for stuff. Like it's $10 for just a 30 day pass. And then you go, here's another thing. You have to pay another $10. You get a new card. But the idea of some of the prices are a little outrageous.
Mm-hmm.
They had bundles through the holidays. Like, hey, you want a variant of a different art of a card that is a guaranteed within like the first pool of cards, Apocalypse, $100.
Shit.
And it comes with just an irrelevant avatar. You do get some currency But the idea of $100, I'm like, I don't know. Not for a car that is already given. I'd rather know, like, you gave me, if that bundle had Thanos, because Thanos is in a Series 5 or Series 6 level card. And so it's obviously you have to be so high up the pool. Hey, for $100, you get Thanos and all the little things we just said for Earth Apocalypse. That one I can understand. Then they were having some other bundles, but I digress. No, it's, I understand why, and I also voted for it, but it's probably the best mobile game in a very long time.
I mean, people are really, really loving it. They're heavy on it. I played for a bit, but it was going to require a lot more like studying than I wanted to give it time. But fuck, that game is beautiful. Like for a card game, like the animations, the art styles, like this fucking game is nice. Oh, you're on mute.
That's how it uses the parallax on your iPhone, if you have an iPhone, to make that 3D effect. Uh-huh. And I don't know, that 3D effect might happen on Samsung phones too, or Android phones too. I just don't know how it works. But I do know how it works on the iPhone. It's like you can literally like lean your phone this way and kind of look underneath, because mm-hmm. it's just the way it tracks with. It's really well done.
Yeah, it really reminds me a lot of those old fucking Marvel cards where they were like the holographic cards from back in the day. Yeah. Like, they're on that level. I was like, these things are sick. So, what about you, T? So you heard you playing Horizon?
Oh my god, it's so good, bruh. You know, like it took me, as we spoke some time back, it took me like 5 tries to get into Horizon Zero Dawn before mm-hmm. it finally got its hooks into me. This shit, almost off the word go, and it's way more sci-fi freaky deaky. And it's like, oh shit, it's going down like that? We talking about that? I'm like,
oh, it goes off the rails, man. Just wait till you get to like third act, and you'd be like, what the fuck?
Yeah, bro. So I'm literally in a cauldron right now that I'm kind of stuck in. But I'll figure it out here shortly. But I'm just having such a great time with it. Where am I at now? I just got to the point where it's like, you got to go to San Francisco.
Uh-huh.
Like, there's no getting around it. So I'm like, okay, fine. I think they're okay.
Yeah, if you're gonna make me.
I'm trying to finish up my salvage of contracts.
Uh-huh.
Because that way they'll be all the way done, and I can just go. Then I can head out west with hopefully the best armor.
Mm-hmm. That's what I did too. I went hard on the salvage contracts, because then it was like, if I get the armor that I want, and then because I think like when I was playing it, it was like, you can kind of play up to your play style. Mm-hmm. And so it was like, okay, cool. Then these are the weapons I want to go for. This is the sort of, you know, damage I want to give or take.
Yeah. That Vegas shit was dope.
Hands down, that whole game could have been Vegas. And I've been like, straight up, this is good.
And if you've been to Vegas and you all of a sudden you'll see like the top of some buildings that you know where how high they are. And then you're like, wait a minute, how are these? I can walk to the top of this building now? What happened?
Yeah.
So
no, for real. Yeah. And then it takes you to like, and I think that was probably something that was different in this game, aside from like the cauldrons. It's way more vertical than it is horizontal.
Yeah.
Because like, you know, when you think about like Vegas in itself, like as if you're traversing in all the directions, you know?
Yeah.
So, and it's a beautiful game too.
It really is. It's kind of stunning. I play it on favorite resolution as opposed to favorite performance. Mm-hmm. I don't pay for it. I want to see everything as pretty as it can be, and I'll take the 30 frames.
Yeah.
So I am doing that. I hit like something yesterday, and the sun literally hit my eyes. Now I literally had to cover my. I was like, "Bro, what the hell?" That was really like the sun shining. So that HDR came through popping.
Yeah.
And then
play that bitch with some headphones too.
Like, see, I never play. I got surround sound though, so I got all the speakers around me. So I guess I could put the headphones on. But how much sound comes out the controller in general?
Mm-hmm.
Some shit Sony stole straight from Nintendo. I want y'all to know that. Respect on their name. They stole that shit straight from the Wii. You know it, not know it.
Yeah.
And so that's wild dope. And I just been having a great time with it. And like I was saying, man, I've been going. Marvel Snap is my bedtime game. So in a bit, when I go lay down here, I will play probably like 5-6 hands of Snap, and I'll be fine. Once I win a couple, be saying that. What it is, I can never go to bed on a loss. And so I'll be like, oh, well, look, I ain't gonna go out like no bitch. I'm currently playing this sweet ass is it Zabu? Is that cat's name?
Yeah.
Yeah, I got this Zabu hand that I made that somebody was talking about on YouTube, and I was like, oh, okay. And yeah, I recently got Rescue, which is basically Blue Iron Man, and that's a damn good card because basically you play it and you play another card where it's at and it gets +5. At that you have that in your hand and you have Thor in your hand, and Thor, if you play Thor, Thor will shuffle a Mjolnir into your deck, and if you get that card played again, you basically hit Thor with like it just cranks up his power to like 10. 10 plus, you know what I'm saying? It's dope. I got a real fly hand going right now, man. So
nice.
Clickety clack at the dice game. I had to switch back to a different deck because one of the because you work toward these goals in this game. It's like Fortnite. You know, it's these challenges. And one of the challenges was play X amount of cost 2 cards. And I don't have any cost 2 cards currently in my deck. It's all cost 4 cards and 2-3 cards. And that's the one of them is the main one, Zabu, and the other one is Thor. So basically, that's a handful of fours that I'm working with right now. And so I had to go back to a different deck and work on that. Marvel Snap is amazing. You should be playing it if you are any type of gamer. If not even, not even. If you just like, let's say you are the lowly type that's just playing, match 3 games or some shit like that.
Yeah. There,
you'll go up for this. Mm-hmm. It's just it's touching every part of your gamer brain in this situation, and you don't got to pay a dime. It took me a long time before I came out of pocket on it, and that's only because I wanted the I paid the what is it $5 for that Captain America like that beginning situation.
Yeah, like well, yeah. Like the welcome pack.
Yeah, the welcome pack. I paid a $5 for, and I got the season pass this go round.
Yeah,
yeah.
He missed out. He should have got last once because Silver Surfer is. Oh, really overpowered, and he also would go with your Thor. But that's how the game is. I'm higher on the collector's thing with than T, but he has Doctor Doom and Thor. I do not have them. Because once you hit pool 3, it starts getting truly random. It goes into like a more random pool of whatever cards come out.
Yeah,
and then on my end, I finally picked up a Series X. GameStop right up to Christmas was doing a bonus percent, and that's what I was waiting for. Was like a good deal on that. So traded in a couple things. I think I only paid maybe like $80 for the Series X. So I was like, okay,
wow,
cool, perfect. And then completely forgot. Like it was one of those things. The box came. I threw it up in the closet with just like other boxes. But maybe like a month ago, my play date arrived. That little fucking handheld with the crank. The
crank.
Yeah. And so I was up doing some shit in the closet and I was like, fucking bitch, forgot that this thing came. And so then I pulled it out and I was like, this is hands down the stupidest fucking thing I've ever purchased. Everybody in my house has played it. Because it's just that simple. So it's that little black and white fucking monochromatic screen type of thing. Yeah, it has a little crank on the side. Right now it's in season 1. And so basically once you start it up, it starts your season. And so every week you get 2 more games. And so it's a total of 24 games, so up to 12 weeks. Yeah. So first 2 games was like a surfing game. Where you use the crank to basically like navigate your surfboard and you got to do fucking flips in the air and back in. And I was doing it, couldn't figure it out. Fucking Gavin's become a master at that shit. When he figured out basically how to hack the system. And then now, whereas when I surf, I get like 300 points. I'm like, it's amazing. This fool's over here, 5,000, like 720s off the wave lip. I'm like, shut up. Then they got another one that is basically like a Pokemon clone. But instead of like catching Pokemon, you think of Pokemon Snap. You take pictures of birds. And but it's like use the crank to like focus your camera and you kind of navigate around to take the right picture. And then Today, so then every Monday after you get more games. So today I got two more games. They automatically download to your system. And what I do like though is as I start looking into it more, one, the battery life is amazing because basically it's nothing.
It's an
So
E screen, so it uses hardly any power.
yeah, so that bitch lasts forever. It's thin, like really, really thin. It feels like holding like a cassette tape. You can remember that. And then but there's a lot of side loading, and they even promote it too, where they're like, this is how you side load, this is what you do.
I was
And then
literally about to
they
talk to you. There's a game that Matt Apodaca from Get Played podcast was talking about that he side loaded on there. It was like one of his games of the year. He just said he just fucked with it so hard. And I'm like, what's it called? Like Flowers or something like that? It's like an
That's all good.
RPG. Yeah.
Yeah, and there's a gang of these games. And like I said, there and I love that the company, I can't think of who is putting out Playdate right now, but they're like, yeah, fucking load it up. Here's how you do it. Like they're just like, this device was made for developers. And if you can come up with something better, fucking knock yourself out.
Dope.
So I think that's a really, really good thing. But yeah, at first I was just like, this is the stupidest fucking thing I've ever purchased. But we've all played it and have all had like a good time. And I think because it's also very simple too. Like it's not like, okay, so what are the controls? Okay, there's 18 buttons over here. It's like, nope, it's the fucking directional pad,
And a
BA,
crank.
and a crank. That's it.
Nice.
You know? But I'm still pushing through God of War. I'm having a good time with it. It's one of those things where I'm just like I just haven't really been like in a super gaming mood either. And so I'll play a little bit and then I'm like, I gotta finish Chainsaw Man. Let me finish that up. Which I'm like one episode away from the finale. That fucking show is so good. Like, hands down, one of the most exciting shows I've watched in a long time. It just have you watched it, T?
I'm not.
It's good. It's really, really good. Especially for like the corny premise where you're like, this guy's head's a fucking chainsaw. But then one, it's beautiful how he becomes the Chainsaw Man. I was like, damn, that's really nice. And then like his whole upbringing, everything, I was just like, this is actually really, really well done. So I'm fucking loving it. But so I bounce between like, I'm gonna watch a little bit of a show, or I'm gonna play God of War, or I'm gonna read Scott Pilgrim and listen to some records and kind of allocating that time out. But I mean, God of War, as I know in our last conversation, I was like, I'm not feeling it. But once I kind of like, as we were talking through with Delvin, I was like, you know what? I think I do like this game more than I'm giving it credit. Like, I think I'm just like life frustrated that I wasn't seeing that I was actually having a good time. It's a good game.
It won Kinda Funny's game of the year today.
Did it?
I was watching they did it live in studio, and I was like, and it won by like hands down, like going away with it
Yeah,
again.
there was like no
Yeah.
negotiating here.
Yeah, Elden Ring came in second with those guys, but I was like, okay. I'm like, I'm glad I got it. It's on the shelf amongst all the, like I said, the things I got
You're
for
like, it's gonna
at
happen.
Christmas. So it'll get I'll get to it eventually. But right now, Horizon has me. I didn't even play Fortnite. And normally, you know what I'm saying? That's been my shit. And I got up to like I'm at like level 46 this season of Fortnite, but I have not been playing Fortnite. I have been Horizon. And I mean, like this weekend, it was a lot of Horizon. But I put Christmas away. You know what I'm saying? I went and picked up prescriptions. I did my chores as the man of the house. But then I sat down and I
Yeah,
played
this is
my
my
fucking
time.
I got my Horizon popping, man. So
Yeah, I'll probably squeeze in a little bit of God of War when we wrap up too.
yeah,
Because
yeah.
oh, my daughter started folklorico dancing today,
Nice.
so my wife and her are out down the way. But it's like, it's kind of good time, bad time because she goes from like 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. So it
Yeah.
means they'll get home and then like immediately shower and go to bed. But at the same time, it doesn't like rush dinner or
Yeah.
anything, you know? So it's one of those weird balances. We'll probably alternate weeks or something like that.
Yeah.
But let's kind of flip into something we haven't done in a long while. And that's
What up with that? Ooh wee. What up with that? What up with that? He said, she said, we said, he said, what up with that?
what's up with like fucking stores just giving up on holidays. They're just fully, like, not even sidestepping, but just stepping over. Like, I went to a few stores just the other day, and what's, in to you guys, what's the next holiday coming up?
Valentine's King Day.
No, all right. Either one. Though I feel like T was kind of skewing it a bit. He was going to say Valentine's Day.
No. I took time off, like I'm saying, because it bumps up into Martin Luther King Day and then I get a free one off. I love it.
But Valentine's kind of like the big holiday coming up. Easter. Where I'm like, what? Easter is fucking April. Like, there's still February, March in between, and there's still Valentine's Day, and we're just like, nah, the way here.
I noticed that last year at around 4th of July, they had whipped out the Halloween candy, my guy.
Yeah.
And I was like, what is even happening? Because I sent a picture to the homies, and I was like, what is happening here? And of course, Box, who loves him some Easter, some Halloween, was just like, hell yeah. I'm like, oh, this is way too early for this shit, man.
But I saw something similar, too, where it was like, we went Halloween, Christmas. And I was like, but a lot of people celebrate Thanksgiving. Like, we're not doing that one this year? Okay. Nah, bro. I mean, hey, if it's about the colonizing, I get it. But
but not even that. So, like, my kid was like, oh, can you get me the holiday Oreos? You know, the ones with the red ones, I'm saying.
Yeah.
And I was like, sure. They was gone off the shelves by Christmas time. You think the time that they'd be selling the most.
Yeah. No, they're like, no, you were supposed to be here in September.
Yeah, they sold those again, September, October, like you said. Yeah. And it's just like it's something I've noticed these stores do. And it's like, bruh, sometimes I need you to be in season, you know?
Yeah.
Here in the present. Mm-hmm. It can't always be, no, you gotta buy for the future. Like, bro, then I can't buy.
Well, I was in a grocery store today. And I actually did see the box of, like, what are they called? The hearts. You know, the fucking the
conversation hearts. Yeah.
Conversation hearts. Yes, that's what I was thinking. Because in my head, I was like, confectioner's hearts, but that's not what they are. But yeah, the conversation hearts. And I remember last year, they were a bitch to find. Yeah. And my kids love them. I love them too. I mean, who doesn't? But you just couldn't find them. Or you could find the sweet tart version. And it's
which are fine, but that's not what you look
for. That's not what it is. Yeah. I'll eat them. Like, I'm not going to discriminate. But it's like, nah, it's that nostalgic chalkiness, you know? And I was like, am I going to have to buy these fucking bitches today? Because they literally might not be here tomorrow.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Like, shit, I better buy these things. But I'm like, what the fuck? Like, why are we moving so fast? I guess is the real question here. What's the point of, like, moving so quickly?
Yeah, they can't help themselves, man. It's the engine of capitalism, and it's always like, you better get what's next. And I'm like, bruh, again, just keep the cookies on the shelf for this cookie time, man. Just come on, man.
Or, like, the other thing too is, you know what is also being undercut? The day after sale.
Yep, because it's already gone.
Yeah. Where's my 50% off?
Yeah.
Like, where's my 50% off these fucking, you know, these hearts again, or these chocolates, or you name it, whatever that holiday thing is. Like, I want 50% off the next day. The following week, 75. That's how this game is played. You guys are fucking skewing it over here, charging me full price two seasons ahead. Motherfuckers, man.
Goddamn inflation.
Right,
we got double price eggs now,
bruh. Seeing eggs for like $7 to $8 that ain't not fly ass organic, you know what I'm saying? You know, they only ate free range, you know, cacahuates, whatever they were saying. Nah, son, it's been ridiculous.
Yeah, no, yeah. That's gonna be next episode. What's up with inflation? Because fuck, take notes. We'll talk about that one. But man, Mike, thank you for joining us tonight. Really glad to have you on. As always, fuck you.
Man.
So just, you know, we can't end the episode. You know, that's just it's sort of a tip of the hat, if you know. But Where can people find you? You still doing your show? What's happening? Are we taking over the PSVG network? Like, what's going on?
Yeah, I'm waiting for this
Insurrection?
insurrection of PSVG.
It's mighty Brazilian of you, man. You gotta relax.
I did it this year. I didn't do nothing that year.
The 2 years ago.
Yeah, contrary to the complexion, no, I did not.
Yeah.
But no, you can follow me on Twitter at Cousin Cecil. That's CUZNCISEAL. And I have to start again. I'm going to start this season, this year's Cousin Cecil show, but more consistently at this moment, because we actually have a pretty good stockpile of episodes. You can catch me on Delvin's Patreon with his show called On Shuffle that I came up with him,
Yes,
which
very
is
good show.
very which is a very just simple for a pitch elevator pitch for the listeners who would like to. The only way you can listen to the show is on his Patreon for $1, because we listen to music and it is basically show a black guy white music.
Yeah.
And it's been doing pretty good in my opinion, and so much that right, even before we got on here, just because I was on the computer and it was popped up, I turned on. I have the next playlist coming up because we have a one of Delvin's podcast guests, like on his show, like the 69 Whiskey guy. He wanted to come on. And he wanted to show Delvin Nickelback. So I was just listening to the playlist that he created, and I
Careful.
More I don't well if he listens, he has to understand that's just how I am and how I interpret and how I express myself. He picked some songs. They were okay. There's some okay ones, but they're a lot different ones than I would have picked for the Nickelback. But the end song, he picked five and I picked the end song because it's my goddamn show. But yeah, so if you like to see Delvin, who is on Cadillac on Mars when it's not important, when there's no special guests or anything, if you want to see him listen to Cradle of Filth, if you want to have him listen to, which is coming up, Insane Clown Posse, if you want to hear him, well, he has technically beloved My Chemical Romance, The Black Parade, and spoilers to that show, he apparently got the vinyl of it.
No way.
Yeah. But yes, you can hear him delve and listen to The Black Parade for the first time on there for just $1.
Yeah, definitely give it a listen. I mean, you'll get access to a bunch of other shows as well, but that one is really enjoyable. One, because it's like, I think it blows my mind because like music is like my first love. And so I think the conversation actually started with Delvin not knowing like any Chili Pepper songs.
Yeah.
And it was like, they're everywhere. The fuck are you talking about?
Delvin likes to play deaf, dumb, and blind
Yes.
everywhere on the internet. He likes to play like he's never heard these songs. Like, Delvin, you've been in the internet for X amount of years. You've been
Yeah.
watching X amount of movies. You know if you've heard
You're
them, but
lying.
you're a liar. But
Yes.
I try my best to find some, and obviously, like even for you, you've gave me a playlist that I, after this little list of to-dos, I'm gonna have to listen to Beach House more than I've never listened to Beach House. That was gonna be the other part. I was gonna listen to it with him for new, but obviously, I'm
Yeah.
gonna dip into that
Yeah, because you'll
playlist.
have the Beach House one, you'll have Chicano
Chicano
Batman.
Batman,
Yeah.
and
So there's some good stuff. It's a good show. It's a really, really good show. So people definitely get on the Patreon for sure. Now, what about you, T?
I of course am the host of Stage Crunchy and Milk. Crunchy being spelled with a K. Come out every week. It's every Thursday. It's a pretty great show. I host with my buddies, Ant and Lunch, and I think it's pretty dope. And I think you would get down with the get down. We also have a show called Crème Pâtissier. Crème spelled with a K. You can sense a theme there. And we are currently reviewing The Big Brunch, which is on HBO Max. It's a really great show. One of our co-hosts, Nick Jew, was like, "Yo, we got to review that show." It's no normally we were just reviewing the Great British Bake Off, but she was like, "Yo, I think this show works, and we should review it." And it has been just a delight. Also, she got hosting duties on that one. I was like, okay, you want to do that one? You got to hold it down. And she was like, dope, because that's what I want to do. And so she held it down on host duties right that one. So all I have to do is show up and nice. Do. And it's that's fantastic. And it's really great. And I think you would really get down with the Get Down. I truly think you would enjoy it. Again, that has its own feed, Creme Patissier, K-R-E-M-E, Patissier, you know, just go spell it. Plus, I post it everywhere. You'll know where not about it. A podcast is our music discussion show. Our next episode will be coming up here. We'll record it, I believe, here in February or late January here. When we finish up this season of A Big Brunch, and I say we can get on the next episode of a podcast. Currently, the episode that is available is talking. What is that? What is our current episode? Best opening bars, and I promise you, it's well worth your listening. It's a really good episode, and I was very happy with how it turned out. The edit turned out on that one. Delvin's on there. You know, what I'm saying, if you need some, you know, some more Delvin Cox, he came through and did a guest spot on there.
Pause. Whoa.
Cox all over the place.
Sir. So you're good to go on that. I'm telling you right now. So Get Down with the Get Down, a podcast. Stage Crunchy and Milk and Creme Patissier are the shows that your man's does. If you want to follow me on the internet, I am Tayrail 713 all across the internet. There's no place that I am not that name. That's probably problematic or secure or security issue some way, shape, or form, but it is who I am. And it is what it is. So there you go. That's what's up with me.
Yeah. And then for me, you know, you'll find me here, Cadillac on Mars. And if you want to hit me up, you mostly find me now just hanging out on Instagram, just posting more stories than anything else. Yeah. But that's Chaufie, Chaufie on Instagram. Very rarely using Twitter. It's a weird, like, ghost town right now.
I've been trying to be to use Hive more, and I have been. That 2 weeks that it was down really kind of slowed its roll, but it's a much more secure application, and they are doing work on it just about every day. You'll get an update to
I really just seem like they're busting down. So yeah, that I'm over there too as Chaufie, and then but if you do want to hit me up on Twitter, at L Chaufie, that's ELCHAUFYE, and then you know, we'll be catching up with everybody soon. Man, thank you, Mike. Thank you, T. Fuck Delvin Cox.
Yeah, fuck Delvin. He's getting compensation right now with the mesothelioma from that veteran pussy. Oh,
yeah, that's true. He is out here on the host role, so I actually think he's got the clap and it's not really sick.
If you want to hear about Delvin in the host role, listen to this week's Skim.
You got that drip right now.
Not the right one.
Oh, no.
Not the right one. Anyways, we out of here. Peace.
Peace. Holy smokes.
Mama. Mama.
What? Grandma's not here.
Grandma's not here. You know?